What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 115. Today, we're going to be reviewing the movie Sacred Cow. It was kind of all about agriculture and how we can just do it better, honestly. But the first thing we want to talk about is Article of the Week. And this week, it's an article titled, One Egg a Day Increases the Risk of Developing Diabetes by 60%. So we have this article linked on the website, so you can find it at tntwellnessandnutrition.com if you're interested in reading it. But Tom, do you want to just briefly go over the article real quick?
Yeah, so first off, this article is from Daily Mail, and this article is from November 2020. So if you just Google Daily Mail eggs and diabetes, something along those lines, two articles are going to pop up. One is going to say eggs cause diabetes, and that's from November 2020. And then the second hit on there is one egg a day lowers your risk of type 2 diabetes. And that one's from 2019. So in the space of a year, they have completely flipped, I guess, their point of view when it comes to eggs and diabetes.
Yeah, is Daily Mail like a tabloid in the UK? Or is it like a reputable like thing? I don't know.
So I read through the 2019 one, mm-hmm. and it looked like they were very, like, picky with what they were saying. They're like, this is what the study shows, but there were, like, other studies show different, and they're not saying, like, you should eat eggs or anything like that. And unfortunately, they didn't include a link to the study from the 2019 article, but they were, like, they were still saying, you know, eggs have cholesterol, so watch out and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think they're probably a recognized news organization over there. Not mm-hmm. really sure.
Yeah, because the way just the article was written and the layout of the website, whatever. If I read a title like that, I'm not going to take it serious. So I was judging it from day one, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, I just thought that was interesting just from, like, for the span of 1 year, they wrote two completely different articles. Mm-hmm. But, so, since there was a study with the 2020 article, like, let's kind of, like, look into it. First off, it's a food survey from China. I mean, we've said this a million times, food surveys are not very reliable. They're pretty crappy studies. Second, it only found that the risk increased for women and not for men. So, I mean, that's another red flag. So, really, so only women get, or eggs only cause diabetes for women and not men? What's going on there? That doesn't really make sense. Mm-hmm. Another factor, people who ate eggs had an overall poor diet. They're eating a lot more processed foods and stuff with it. And then this is the biggest thing that they did not include in the article, is that the way that most women ate eggs were in baked goods like muffins.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a huge thing to leave out. Like, yeah, eggs are bad when you mix it with a pound of, I don't know, dough and sugar, you know?
Yeah, so in that way, like, oh yeah, if you ate one egg in the form of, like, a pastry, like, yeah, I can see why your risk of diabetes has increased.
But it has nothing to do with the egg and everything to do with it, what's in the pastry.
Yeah, and none of that was in the article. It just basically just said, you know, what their title said, and just kind of doing a little bit of it, stuff like that. That's why you got to read through these studies. Like, you know, it's really easy to you know, manipulate the data, manipulate an article, and say, like, kind of whatever you want. But if you actually look at the study and read it objectively, you can come across like, oh, yeah, eggs in the form of pastries is bad. Eggs by themselves, one of the best foods out there.
Yeah, for sure. Like, if you go to, like Tom mentioned earlier, the people in this study who did have an increase in diabetes with egg consumption, they had a highly processed diet, or at least more than the people who didn't see an increase. So you can think of it like this. Like, if you go to McDonald's in the morning and you get a sausage egg McMuffin with orange juice and hash browns, which is very, very common, a lot of people get that, the most healthiest thing in that meal is the egg. Now, overall, is it a healthy meal? No. You're getting pounds of sugar, you're getting all the processed crap from everything else, but the egg is literally the best part of that meal.
Oh, 100%.
So,
like, that's kind of why you could survive off of that for breakfast.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's because all the nutrition that's in the egg.
Not everything else. And there were a few highlighted parts I took from the paper, just because they just made these claims, and they sound like common knowledge, like known truth, so they didn't have to back up the claims, but they're not true. So one of the things I highlighted, this is a quote from the paper, it says, The study published in the British Journal of Nutrition specifically focused on people in China, which has undergone a transition away from a traditional diet compromising grains and vegetables to a more processed diet that includes greater amounts of meat, snacks, and eggs, according to LDL. Or excuse me, to Dr. Lee. I'm still focused on statins so much reading LDL. But that's not true. That's 100% not true. Like, the traditional Chinese diet, like pork and fish, is a huge mainstay in their diet. So to say that their normal diet is grains and vegetables, not true, but that sounds right, so no one's gonna like second guess that. They're just like, okay, that sounds good, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and one thing is, like, China's wealth has gone up drastically in that same time span, so that could be another reason why they're eating more meat, because meat is generally associated more with like higher economic status and poor.
Mm-hmm.
And traditionally, China has been one of the poorer countries,
and they've been forced. Now that
they have more money, they can buy more meat,
exactly. Yeah, so it's just the way they worded that and presented that's not true. And the second thing that stood out was, here's the quote, eggs are also high in protein, about 7 grams per egg, which our body turns to glucose if we consume too much of it. And I was like, nope, that's not true either. But that sounds like scientific jargon that if someone reads it, they don't have any sort of knowledge on gluconeogenesis. They don't have knowledge on how our body uses protein and glucose. They just believe it. And that's not true. If I eat 500 grams of protein right now, my body's not going to turn that into sugar. It's going to use what it wants to and then break down the rest. And that's just, we've gone over this. So we have a whole podcast on gluconeogenesis if you want to touch on it. But again, these are just flat out lies in this paper that no one without any sort of background information is going to pick up on.
Yeah, so you can't trust a headline. And honestly, like, the only way to really get reliable information is to read the studies.
Yep, exactly. So yeah, so that's the paper. Again, just honestly a BS study. Eggs do not cause diabetes. If you want to really learn about diabetes, we do have a two-part series on diabetes. So just go ahead and check out the website. You can just search diabetes and it'll come up. So listen to that. But yeah, let's get into this week's topic, which is sacred cow. It's nice to kind of take a break from statins. Like, we did a whole shit. We talked about statins for almost a month and a half. So it's nice to kind of get that past us, you know. But this movie, like I said in the intro, was really about just agriculture and how it's kind of destroying the world in more ways than one. You know, monocrops and traditional agriculture is very bad for just our climate. It's very bad for our soil. And I do know a little bit about this topic because I've read a handful of books on soil. And as nerdy as that sounds, I mean, I feel like I'm the only dude reading books on dirt, you know. But those books are some of the most depressing books you'll ever read. At least if you're reading books on diet and nutrition, there's a way out. You know, it's okay, you know, eat more protein, work out, eat less processed foods. Okay, there's a way out. But with this soil stuff, we've done so much harm to our world, our entire world, that it's just finding a way out and a solution is very difficult. But this movie did present some ways that we can kind of dig ourselves out of this hole we've created for ourselves.
Yeah, so before we start kind of going over what the book and the film like showed and demonstrated, you just want to talk about like what you think of the film, because like we had kind of different points of view.
Yeah, I really didn't like it, honestly. It was cool watching it, and I mean, I think I literally knew every person that talked, and I either read their books or read articles that they've presented. So I knew that the people speaking were trustworthy. I knew that they were experts in this field. And it was actually pretty cool because they would normally have whatever speaker is going to speak. They would say a few sentences before they actually show the person. And I could call it damn near every time who was talking. I was like, oh, that's this person. That's this person. And it just kind of reminded me how much, I guess, I have, I don't know, read and watched over the years. You know, did you feel the same thing?
So, I mean, yeah, pretty much. I mean, none of it was really new information to me. But that's just because, like, we've been looking this stuff up for years. So is that what it was? It's like you were hoping to learn something new and you just didn't?
Yeah, I was hoping to learn something new, and I was really hoping that they would make this topic more sexy. I was hoping they'd make this topic more digestible, and that's just because talking about dirt and talking about just agriculture is super boring. No one cares. We're all so detached from, like, our food network. We don't even get how this shit works. We just walk into a store, and there's hundreds of pounds of beef. There's 500 pounds of sugar if we want it. There's a million potatoes if we want it. We don't understand how this shit works and how important it really is for the health of our entire nation and entire world. So I was hoping they would make it a little more, I don't know, interesting so that people could pick up on it. Because I already knew everything they were talking about, and they're preaching to the choir. You know, I 100% agree with this stuff, but it's just, I don't know. I just wish they presented it better, I guess. It was just a little boring, in my opinion.
Okay. See, I don't want to say the complete opposite, but pretty opposite point of view. Like, I really enjoyed it. Finally, a documentary that I can share with other people. Be like, hey, you want to know why I think the way I do? Check out this film. Because, like, you know, there's What the Health, there's Cowspiracy, there's so many, like, vegetarian or, like, vegan documentaries. So I'm glad that, like, this is a great rebuttal to that. And it just kind of goes through, like, here's all the claims that, like, you know, vegans make. Here's why they're wrong on every single factor. So I, like, love that. And I thought that, because I read the book too, I thought that their point of view about just kind of the ethics of eating meat came across so much stronger in the film than it did in the book. So, like, that's another reason I really enjoyed it. Yeah, you know, like you said, we follow pretty much all the people that were in this film. So the book and the film are by Rob Wolf and Diana Rogers. I've been following Rob Wolf for years. I'm not too familiar with Diana Rogers until now. But yeah, like, I've been following the work for a really long time. A lot of the other people in here, your girl Zoe Harcum was in there.
Yep.
A bunch of other people. And it was just kind of like, thank you for just kind of putting this together, because a lot of this information isn't very well known. I'm pretty much you, and I got, like, one other person I can talk to about some of the stuff that were in this film before the film came out. So now that more people can talk about it, like, you know, I can kind of, it's a lot easier to spread the information around about a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. And I guess I don't mean to be that harsh of a critic, because I do appreciate the people who made this. I understand how difficult it is to get this point across. I mean, I have this problem literally every week trying to get this information across in a digestible manner. So I know it's difficult, and I know I suck at it. So, you know, who am I to judge them? Because I didn't think they did the best job either. But it's still, it's better than nothing. And yeah, I mean, it was all good info. No doubt about it. Like, I didn't see anything and disagree with it. So that's big.
Yeah.
I was looking for Alan Savory. Like, the entire time, I was like, I was talking and I was like, oh, Alan Savory's going to be in this. And then he never was. Because he's kind of one of the guys who pioneered, like, regenerative agriculture. So that was the one guy who wasn't in this movie that I thought was going to be. But everybody else I damn near called before I even watched the movie.
Wasn't he in it towards the end?
No, he wasn't, like, in briefly? It at all. I didn't see him.
Okay. Yeah. I thought that he might have been. Okay, yeah, like, there was a lot of, I thought he was there, like, for just, like, a little short snippet, but maybe not.
Yeah.
Getting kind of the book and the film confused, since I've, like, consumed both of them a lot in the last week.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, let's just kind of dive into it.
Sure.
So, I mean, basically, like, their main point of view of the book and the film are basically to show how responsibly raised ruminants, that's animals like beef, bison, camels, and sheep, can fix many of the problems in our current world. stuff like chronic illness, food scarcity, sustainability, ethics, and climate change. So pretty much everything that you think that beef causes or red meat causes is actually the complete opposite. Red meat can be the solution to all of these problems.
Yeah.
So we talked about chronic illness and beef for damn near 100 episodes so far. I know we've done 115. A few of them been on working out and some other stuff. So I don't really want to get into like more of that. Like, we just said enough on red meat, so let's just kind of skip that. The only thing I did want to point out is I thought this was pretty interesting. At the beginning of the film, it showed like a news snippet, and it said red meat is a possible carcinogen. And like right next to the picture of red meat, it had like a big sign saying pesticides. So like the popular advice, like for most doctors who avoid cancer and avoid a lot of other issues, is to eat less red meat and replace that red meat with more servings of like fruits, vegetables, and grains. So all those fruits, vegetables, and grains, those are sprayed with pesticides. So basically the advice is to replace one carcinogen with another carcinogen. Yeah. It's this kind of dumb advice that has caused cancer to grow into the number one killer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just to make it clear, red meat, processed red meat, bacon, hot dog, sausage are not a carcinogen. We've done a whole podcast on it, breaking down the science behind those claims. And shit, I'll put science in quotes because it is the most shoddy science out there. So there is no link between meat and cancer. There is not. Again, if you want to learn more about cancer, yes, we have a whole podcast on cancer. Check that out. So just to make it clear, there is no link between meat and cancer because it's just not there.
Yeah, that's a great point. But it's like, and even if it was.
Yeah, that's still shit advice because like those pesticides, even the whole, I mean, just to touch on it real quick, like glyphosate, which is like the biggest pesticide herbicide out there right now, it is directly sprayed on grains, directly sprayed on fruit. So when you get those in your house, you are, unless you wash the shit out of them, which most people don't, you are directly consuming those pesticides. Even if a cow, the worst raised cow in the world, eating nothing but grains 24/7, which couldn't happen because a cow would die, but let's just say for this example, the glyphosate isn't actually found in the muscle meat, which most people are going to actually consume. So you're not going to get it through the cow, but you are going to get it directly eating plants and fruits and vegetables, you know?
Yeah, pesticides are designed to kill life. Like, that's what they are. So it's like, yeah, no shit that pesticides cause cancer.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's just kind of start with, like, one of the big topics, and that's monocrops. So monocrops are, that's when you grow one crop on a patch of land over and over and over again, year after year after year, basically until that land becomes useless. So like the three biggest monocrops are soybeans, corn, and wheat. Mostly soybeans and corn now, like those are the two biggest ones. So when we saw the rise in monocrops, we also started to see the rise in processed foods. Because soybeans, like that's processed into many things such as like highly toxic industrial seed oil. So soybean oil, you see corn oil too. The big thing that corn's used for is high fructose corn syrup. Everybody knows how damaging that is. And the big problem with wheat is like wheat's used as kind of like a binder to connect those two foods. And then also like there's gluten insensitivities and it's sprayed with pesticides, which just completely destroy your gut lining. So like we just kind of just showed you how those three foods are the main drivers of basically all the chronic illnesses out there. Cancer, heart disease, diabetes, autoimmune issues, especially when it comes to stuff like wheat. I mean, these are pretty much the causes of like 9 out of the 10 biggest killers in our country.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like that is the worst stuff out there. And you can think of monocropping, like just monocrop agriculture, as like complete genocide. Like, just go look at a field, get, I don't know, 10 acres by 10 acres, and think of all the life in that field. I'm talking birds, I'm talking sparrows, I'm talking worms, rabbits, mice, all this stuff, all those animals, all that life that you don't even know is there. It's under the soil, all the microbiome, all that stuff. What they have to do is completely kill and wipe out everything. Bye-bye squirrels, bye-bye birds, bye-bye worms, all that stuff gone, just so they can plant soy. That's what monocropping is. They kill everything for that one crop. That's why it's called monocrop.
Yeah, and like not only that, like so even, you know, predators could traditionally eat these small animals that are dying, except that now that they are animals that, you know, like the rodents and insects and stuff like that that would be prey for another animal. Now that they're poisoned. So like a bird can't go eat a poisoned insect or it will die too. So you're completely destroying an entire ecosystem from top to bottom. Like, it's just completely removed. It's one of the worst things for our planet.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why the vegan argument that their food contains, like, or at least causes less death than normal, like, an omnivorous diet is so not true. Like, they just completely negate and forget, and they're just ignorant to what monocropping really is.
Yeah, we'll get into that much, much later on, but okay. Yeah, that's a great point. And one thing that's not really brought up that I think is a really undervalued part of this system is that when you're having monocrops, you're having small, very small plants only part of the year. These crops aren't grown year-round. They're grown from spring. They're planted in the spring. When it comes to fall, then they're cut down. So that's only half the year max, and most of the time those plants are pretty small. They're not even that big. Think it's something like a tree that's been there for years. Well, the amount of carbon that a tree can take up, since it's there year-round, a tree surrounded by grass, flowers, and all this stuff, all these plants are taking carbon out of the atmosphere all year-round. Like, these crops are only taking that carbon out of the atmosphere for part of the year, and they're much smaller than the trees and the grasses that would be growing on that land naturally. So just the amount of carbon that this land could be removing from the atmosphere is greatly reduced.
Yeah, and when they strip the fields, you know, they actually till the fields, take up all the crops, they leave that soil bare, and that causes the carbon to be oxidized from the soil and leak back into the atmosphere where you don't want it to be. You want that carbon in the soil.
Yeah, so there's just another way that these monocrops are just horrible. So Tyson just mentioned how, like, they strip the land of pretty much all life except for that one monocrop that's grown there. Well, crops need nutrients. Like, that's how they're able to grow. So they need vitamins, they need minerals. That's how we get those foods. It comes from the soil first. Well, where the soil gets its nutrition from is from animal sources, mostly poop and bones. Yes, plants need animals to die so that they can live. That essentially makes it impossible to be a vegan.
Yeah, I mean, it's a natural cycle, and ignorance is bliss. You get these dudes living in San Francisco, they've never seen a farm in their entire life. They just don't get how it works. But, like, where do you think these plants get their vitamins and minerals from? It's from the soil. Where does the soil get it from? From animals. It's all a cycle.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel like more people need to, like, rewatch The Lion King and The Circle of Life part. Like, yeah. It's kind of, like, you know, it's demonstrated pretty early on. Most of us seen that when we're kids. We should kind of just, like, learn and take lessons from that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, basically, without having animals living on the same land as the plants, there's no way to sustainably replace the nutrients that are in that soil. So these plants are just constantly just sucking all the nutrients out, and eventually they're going to run out. So if it weren't for animals, plants would only grow in valleys, and that's because water and gravity would wash all the nutrients from the hilltops. So you need animals around. That's how grass is able to grow, because animals can walk uphill, something that water can't do, and it'll poop up there. Maybe it'll even die up on the hill, giving nutrients all around the land, all around the earth. You know, so animals and plants, like, they need each other. It's a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, we're trying to, you know, create these, like, synthetic fertilizers, but, I mean, there's a ton of issues with those, and that's not very sustainable.
No, it's not, but it is the only reason we're able to keep up this pace. Like, right now, I mean, I know we're, like, in the land of excess, like America, so around the world is a different story. You know, people are starving. There are a lot of people who don't have food on their dinner plate every night, but in America, we honestly have too much corn. We have too much soy. We have too much wheat. And that's just because we can jam-pack our soil full of these artificial fertilizers. I think they're naturally called NPK, so it's nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. That's what we put in the soil. You know where we get that fertilizer? From oil. The only reason we're able to keep up this pace and give these plants the nutrients they need to actually live, and it's not all the nutrients they live, it's kind of, we give them the bare minimum, and we get that from oil. So this whole system is built on oil, and people don't realize that.
So the nutrition comes from fossil fuels. The machines, like, planting them, chopping them down, are driven by fossil fuels. They're processed and, like, manufacturing, like, warehouses by fossil fuels. So fossil fuels just drives this everything. Yep. Just drives every single step of the equation. And that's just absolutely horrible for the environment.
And the one thing I liked about the movie is they did touch on how this really was a creation from World War II. And World War II, I mean, I guess it goes without saying that's a pretty big deal. But from like a nutrition standpoint, I don't think people understand what World War II did for the health of the entire world to this day. And one thing that people don't talk about, didn't talk about in the movie, was how the Europeans had diet pretty much figured out around like the turn of the century, 1900s to 1940s. They kind of knew that you want to get someone fat, you feed them low fat and high carbohydrates, it works every time. And, you know, fats and proteins were healthy. We knew that. Or I should say, the Europeans knew that. But once Hitler ran through, just killed all the scientists, burned all the papers, we had to rediscover kind of nutrition. And America took the lead after World War II. And we just completely botched it. And, I mean, just look around, everyone's fat and sick. It's pretty obvious we got it wrong. But what they talked about as well was all the factories producing bombs during World War II. Once the war was over, we had all these factories, we had all these chemicals. That's what started the fertilizer companies, that's what started the processing companies, and it was kind of the creation of processed foods.
Like, we had all this machinery around, we needed something to do with it.
Yeah. All right, that's the end of part one. This podcast ran a little long, so we decided to split it up into two parts. So listen next week and we'll finish our review of the movie Sacred Cow. Hope you guys learned something this week. You can find more information on TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. So check that out and feel free to reach out anytime.